companies trade in dongs. Figuratively and literally, I'm sure.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
I did decide to look it up. 500,000 dongs is a good night for Pops X.
Like most women, he's an emotional thinker.
Good God.
I mean, that's part of the problem we're having now in our society is we have a bunch of emotional thinkers that want the world to, you know, to fall in line with their emotions. It's not... look, reality doesn't give a shit about emotions.
It's my lived truth.
Fuck your lived truth.
No, it's not. It's your perspective.
Kiss my ass.
Literally, like, hey, Sergeant Pop, you got to turn your barrister. I'm like, over my dead body.
No.
Just give me a statement of charges. Yeah. You're never getting this back. Yeah. You can suck it.
I'm going to wear this with my Russian coat.
You will bury me in this. Hey! Why I got to fucking be like that, man?
Because I'm an asshole, and I learned from the best. I'm sitting across from him, and I'm pointing at you with all four fingers.
All right, first of all, the Russian jacket. Is World War II surplus.
I'll send you a picture of it, Sarge.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I got wore you that standing wearing it with holding two giant buckets like you just collected all the chum from behind the dump dumpster at the bar and you're going to go home and make ice cream out of it.
What's up, savages? Terrence Pop here with another episode that actually is Live from the Lair. Now, if you recall, I've done a Paranormal Pop show every now and again, and I covered one on the story of the Kandahar Giant. Now, in that show, I basically stated that the entire thing is rumor control. Nobody has come forward to actually confirm that it happened. The stories change. It's different people here, different numbers of people who got killed. And let's just be honest. It's basically a rumor that's, in my opinion, got way out of control. All right. Now, I am not going to sit here and tell you that giants never walked the earth. They're mentioned in the Bible. There are instances of them being seen or interacted with between the 1400s-ish to about the 17, early 1800s, depending upon where you went. Do I think they still exist? My gut's telling me probably not. There's 8 billion people on the planet. Somebody would come across them if they're still walking the earth today. Now, do I think human beings, as we are now, have the potential to get to a giant stature? Yes, I do. It's, you know, a problem with the pituitary gland, but usually that cuts off right between 6 and 7 feet, sometimes a little higher than 7 feet. And a lot of those people don't live to be old. They're incredibly frail, especially when they start getting closer to the 8-foot mark. Now, perhaps there's a genetic component going on there because, let's face it, we as humans, we're evil, hairless monkeys. We like to fuck all kinds of shit. Who knows what happened in the past? We've got all kinds of Cro-Magnon, DNA and other various branches of the human tree mixed into our hodgepodge of DNA that we have right now. Now, Blake's not here today. He is on a job, but I have my good friend Goat Belly and Jimmy's on station. Now, I want to go into Mr. Walker. He and I served together back in the day. 95, 96, all the way up to 99, 2000. And we were LRRS, long-range reconnaissance, airborne infantry. Now, right around 99, he decided to go down a different route. Because let's face it, infantry work after the age of 30 to 32 gets incredibly painful. The body doesn't react like it did when you're 18 to 25. And he went on to become to join the Air Guard, and he took a job as a meteorologist. A whole assload of school was involved in that. And he spent almost 10 years on the ground in Afghanistan in various locations. And because of his specific job, he was very high up in the know. And in other aspects, he was the king of, let's just face it, the scroungers. He was the go-to guy to make problems go away or, you know, fix things. He learned that from me. He is much better at it than I am now since he's had 10 years worth of experience in a goddamn war zone making shit happen with virtually fucking nothing. All right. So, Walker, give us a little bit about you. Now, I want to put out a warning before we start. I've had bad weather here. I've had my internet. I have two internet lines into this house. One is not working, and the bandwidth has been shaky all day. He has bandwidth problems because he's talking to us via satellite dish because he's in the middle of bunfuck Egypt in Texas. That's his deal. So if we get disconnected or something crazy goes on, just so you know up front what's going on. It's Murphy. There's a bunch of shit going on. All right, take it away there, Walker.
Well, as you know, I spent 11 years airborne infantry and scout. We attended the Q course at the same time, although I got in an argument with the commander. So I was looking for a backdoor to SF, and I found that in the Air Force Special Operations weather teams. So I went over and did that for 5 years, two tours in Kandahar. And then I continued to stay in Afghanistan, working as a contractor for 8 years with three different companies.
All right. So why don't we pull up some of those pictures, Jimmy, so we can go through old memory lane here. And what we're doing now is we're trying to prove something didn't happen. It's very hard to prove a negative. All right. But there he is in his Air Force weather fight garb. You look gay as shit. Nice jump boots, though. So did you get a lot of shit when you first went in there, Walker?
I was an oddity, although Air Force people have one strike against them, and that is they get living differential pay, and that deeply offends the Army. Like, you get $150 because you're with us? Well, we could solve that problem right now. So I had preferential treatment from the Army because I was one, and because I had attended the Special Forces course, I could speak their language. And I would do any mission that they were doing, and they knew that.
All right. Okay. Tell us about this picture here. Where was this taken?
That's in front of Kandahar Airfield. That's a Spectre gunship sitting there. And if you see on the off the nose, there's the mountains. Kandahar is mostly flat, so you have to go way in north to really have some substantial mountains. There was only a few different platforms in the country because Afghanistan is such a harsh environment. It pushes all the thresholds of everything we were trying to do. And so the pilots, when you brief the pilots, they really understand the atmosphere can kill you. Grunts are a little bit harder to convince, because they just wanted them cold and wet.
Uh-huh. I gotcha. Let's move on to the next one there, Jimmy. What's going on in this one?
That was the 160th pilot I had known for a little while. And because I was staff level, I could only do like one-day missions. But I tried to get out as often as I could. you know, so night supply missions. And there was two.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was only two 160th Chinooks in the entire South. And as we'll get into, those are the only two capable aircraft. We'll talk about the different platforms, but
yeah, we'll get to that.
That
now, correct me if I'm wrong. Task Force 160 is the top level elite pilots in the military. Is that correct?
In the world.
Fuck yeah! That's one hell of a boast, bro. What made this guy so good?
Well, okay, so from what I understood, like a normal Black Hawk is about $4 million. Theirs was like 20. A normal Chinook would be 20 million. Theirs was like 52. So the Echo model Chinook that deployed there was the latest, greatest. I got there a month after Roberts Ridge, and they lost one, and they were so pissed because they're unreplaceable. They're custom built for the unit.
All right, so that speaks a lot here. So you were rubbing elbows with some of the pilots who were the best in the fucking world.
And well, I was actually with them on 9/11.
Yeah, but we're not going to get into
some
the 9/11
aircraft involved.
Another show.
Yeah, I was with them. Yeah.
Uh huh. All right. Now here's the thing about Task Force 160. I worked as an airborne ranger and. I did a lot of special operations stuff in the special forces in the mid-90s. I had very limited access to Task Force 160. And those guys fly for Delta. You know, if you watch the craziness that went down in Somalia, all those guys were Task Force 160 guys as well. And there's an incredible relationship that develops between Spec Ops and Task Force 160. That's why you had two Delta operators get on the ground willing to die to rescue their fellow pilots. That is, you know, what we're talking about here. It's an incredibly deep relationship that goes on with these guys. And Walker, you know, worked hand in hand with those dudes. And what level were you operating at while you were there? Was it, what, the core level?
No, it was FOB level, which is was second of the third.
Okay.
It was 2nd Battalion, 3rd Group, plus a company of 20th Group, plus six foreign countries and SEALs and STS.
Mm-hmm. But suffice it to say, while you were on the ground and crazy shit was ensuing, that you would either figure out what was going on or somebody would tell you. You might not get all the details, but a big muscle movement like this would probably pop up on your radar depending upon when it happened, because there's several stories. It happened in 2002, 2004, 2007, 2008. When did
I had to be on the daily brief with all of them, the daily intel brief. Uh-huh. So that my job was to be there. And then issues like, okay, if you're going to carry something, you have to figure out the pressure altitude, if you mm-hmm. can do it, if you can get over the mountains. Weather comes into it because that asset is so important. Weather guy is the first guy they're coming after if you have an aircraft mishap.
All right, so basically what you're saying is you were a 30-pound brain motherfucker at the top making decisions, yay or nay, based on weather.
Yes. Now they had a dedicated weather guy, and if he dipped out, I would take his place. But I briefed the group, but I also attended two briefs a day, ours and theirs.
Okay, I got you. All right, let's move. Now, what's going on with this picture here? Is this another Task Force 160 chopper?
Oh yeah, any aircraft that has the fuel boom in it is special ops.
Okay.
And there's no special ops aircraft in the Department of the Navy. So that boom tells you.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Department of the Navy, don't they use the Sea Stallions? You there?
Hello.
Yeah, are you there? Did you drop off?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Department of the Navy, they use the Sea Stallion, correct?
Yes, them, the Air Force, and the Marines.
Okay. And
only we'll the Air Force are special ops.
Okay. So what we'll do is we'll talk about the airframes when we get into more critical details moving on. That's the next picture there, Jimmy. This is you and you're a contractor. What did you do in this?
This particular one was the Embassy Guard Force. Those ERT team.
Were you a member of this? People you know?
No, I'm third from the left.
Okay. Excellent. What year was this?
Was retired Ranger. That was 06, 07.
06. 06, 07? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, did you rotate out of country at all during this 10 years? Was it very limited? Because I recall you were only back for two, three months at a time every other 2.5 years or so. Does that sound about right?
No. We were like 3 months on, 3 months off for the six years I was at the embassy.
Okay.
I worked a bodyguard contract prior to that that I stayed the whole time.
All right. Next one, here you are in your pizza delivery uniform.
Yeah, that was 1990 in Alaska.
I know. I'm just fucking with you, bro. Look how young you were. We're old as fuck now, bro. Let's get
the jumping Jews in Alaska.
Yeah. All right. What about this one here?
Same thing. Night resupply mission. You can see the Sea Stallion in the background. Uh-huh. So all the aircraft were in the same flight line. Okay. So those Sea Stallions were working for the Rangers, the Tier 1, okay? But wherever you land, you're still on the flight line in front of God and everybody.
All right. Let's hit the next one. All right, here's some fun and games taking place here.
Yeah, that's a rocket that blew me out of bed. I was blown out of bed 3 times and car bombed once. So after that, I decided to scrounge some maneuvers not to live in a tent anymore.
I gotcha.
I had the only private room in Kandahar.
Excellent. And here you are. Is this contractor here? You got a beard going on.
Yeah, it's contracting. Yeah, out on the range. Snowy day.
All right. So, all right, next one. Here you are. What year was this one? You're still wearing the, you got the Green Beret patch on your left.
Yeah, that was 02. That was a party at the general's house. I had that general in my pocket for all things Kandahar.
I got you.
General Razik Sherazai.
And we're not going to mention any American generals because I've seen your letters of accommodation and what have you. So we're not going to show that because I don't want to dox anybody. But I've looked at the documentation. It is legit. Let's move on to the next one. All right, there's a kid with a poppy. This is a touchy-feely.
Well, that AK is as big as the kid.
Yeah, I know. He's got to be like 7. Yeah. That's their Xbox.
And that's what my point is, everybody had access to weapons. If you had to shoot at something, there was no problem finding a weapon to do it.
Well, that's a war zone. That's very common, actually. We had the same thing in Iraq. I mean, everywhere you're going, you're always confiscating weapons from dudes, you know, doing checkpoints, pulling weapons out of cars, what have you. And it got to the point where we were actually, you know, told they were allowed to have a rifle, but any machine gun or anything, you know, greater than that was confiscated. So we did that as well. Next one. All right. Now let's go to Jimmy. Let's pull up the I Love Me letters. What are they? Supporting docs. Right. Show some of the supporting documentation.
Those ones I'll have to bring up a different way. They are sideways. I had to.
No, don't worry about if they're sideways. It's all good.
We'll do it this way here.
If you can fix it, that's fine. There we go.
Yep, I got it.
This is what we're talking about here. If you work alongside special operations or what the tier one, tier two units. When they leave or you leave, they usually give you one of these if you did a good job. So I got a couple of these in my I Love Me wall as well. Let's hit the next one. Can you pull up the next one? All right. So we're working on the next one. Stand by. There should be two there. One's got multiple colors. There it is. There's another one. What's the date on this one? 2003.
Yeah, that was gotcha. My final going out the door.
All right. Now,
even this shirt was awarded to me.
I like it. Yeah. But, you know, I'm going to be honest. You're gravitationally challenged now, my brother. You got to do something about that. Now, this is the guy who cured his own bone cancer with the, anti-cancer diet. So if any of you guys want to know what that is, let's just send me an email or darkthis12@gmail.com. I'll forward it to him and then he can walk you through the entire process. Not only did he save himself with this crazy diet he used, he also helped Martin Rumor's wife, who had liver cancer, beat that as well. So shit works. All right, let's move on to the giant support picks. Let's pull those up.
I'm on it.
All right. Why don't you talk us through these, Walker?
Yeah, start off with this one here.
Now, these pictures come from my personal collection. I saw a History Channel Giant special in 2000, and I was crazy about it. So I these pictures are hard to find. Google like buries credible information now.
Yep. Yes, they do.
Yep. An article from the New York Times, March 5th, 1894.
Now, let's be honest here. There are articles like this starting in like the 1700s up until 1950. I watched the documentary where they actually had 130 articles over that span of time about finding skulls that you could put like two or three human skulls in, jawbones with two rows of teeth, you know, femurs that if you were to put them in an actual human, you know, people would be anywhere between 10 and 16 feet tall. So this has been going on for a while. All right, what's the next? And here we go. Here's the Minoan axes. All right, now, back in the day, now, this is just my opinion. Making a weapon of this size and not use it is a huge waste of resources.
Back then, you could have made 50.
Yeah. Iron was incredibly hard to source, smelt, and use. And I find it hard to believe they would be building weapons of this size for display only. And you could find weapons of this size in Japan, in India, China. You can find them you can see them in museums. And they didn't make them that big just to look at. In my opinion, something was using said weapons in a very unsavory manner. All right, here we go. Now, this is an actual bone here. Look at that shit. So, Walker, how tall would that particular person have to be with a femur of that length?
The print, I think, was about
16 feet tall, yeah.
If you assume that guy is 5 to 6 feet, mm-hmm. the bone is 90% of his height.
So, yeah, he'd be 15 to 16. That bone would have to fit in somebody who's 15 to 16 feet tall, if not 20. Yeah, you're correct. All right. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the human genome as it stands now is not going to allow you to grow to 15 feet tall. I'm sorry. And this one here, I've actually watched the documentary on this. They think this is like millions of years old.
Yeah, that's a fossilized footprint in South Africa, yep, where they have gold mines 350,000 years old.
Yep, I've actually I've covered that. You're talking the circles. Is it the circles they had on the ground that actually generate their own heat and energy?
That's, well, I'm sure they do. That pressure is also heat, and if it's if it goes that deeply, you're talking a whole different environment. You probably couldn't even survive it.
No, you're correct. And if you go back to the Babylonian texts, which are in baked clay tablets, there's millions of them. They've found them. They haven't even translated them all. But they talk about individuals coming from above to below who were of magnificent stature, led to the the men of renown. What is the word that they used to use?
The Nephilim.
Nephilim. Yeah, it's mentioned in the Bible. They're mentioned in some of the books that were left out of the Bible, like the Book of Enoch and what have you. I believe they are talked to briefly or alluded to in Genesis as the others, because they talked about individuals in the Garden of Eden, and a couple of guys got evicted from there for being asshats, and they made reference to other individuals outside of.
So actually, what I'm trying to say, the Ethiopian Bible,
yeah,
predates our Bible.
Correct.
And it has all that in there.
And also, like the New, the Old Testament, a lot of the stuff that's in there, you can find it in the Babylonian texts that go back 6, 8, 10,000 plus years. There's nothing new under the sun. Plagiarism is a thing. It is what it is. Just going to put it out there. All right, that's a finger bone. Now, just imagine that bone is that little bottom part of your thumb, which mine is roughly an inch and a half long. That one is 4 to 5 inches long. Now, you just take a hand, multiply it by 5. It's this big, meaning the skull of that individual is, you know, we're talking this is a 12 footer to 15 foot person with, you know, bones of this size. All right, now let's be clear. Since the 1700s ish, they've dug up bones all across America, and said bones at some point were given to the Smithsonian and they disappear. Now, is this if it was a onesie twosie thing, I might be on the side of it's just a fucking rumor. Hundreds upon hundreds of stories from all hundreds of different sources, all saying the same thing: something is going on. I don't know what that is. I have a feeling it's along the lines of the individuals who are trying to tell you, or tried to tell you in the past, that you were crazy if you acknowledged a UFO. They told you were crazy if you had an abduction story. It's the same. It's the same thing. They want to maintain order. They want to make sure you believe a small core belief of things to make the world and the universe as simple as possible to the average person. You cannot have bones like this laying around or on display in museums, because people will ask questions. And when people ask questions, they start looking for answers, and whole paradigms, ideas, whatever you want to call it, come crumbling down. They don't want that, because they want to maintain control. And I would also put this out there. Do I think in the 1700s and 1800s, the federal government at that time had anything to do with this? I would have to say no. What I do think would happen, because this country used to be deeply, deeply Christian when it was formed up until about, I would say, 1900, the Vatican probably had a hand in these cover-ups. And I would love to see all of the shit that's in their archives, because I can almost guarantee you there's some fucking crazy ass bones, artifacts that don't, should not exist, but do. But that's a different show. So I'm just putting that out there. All right. Now explain this one.
This is an actual, you know, sometimes they will put good things in museums. And this is a bona fide skull that came off a 12-foot male, and it has horns, which is also in the description of the Nephilim.
Sorry, I've tried to zoom in on it there a little bit, but it's not one.
It's, it's a small picture. I got you.
Sorry about that,
guys. That's from somebody who's 12 feet tall.
That's right.
That's fucking... And there are instances...
With horns.
Yeah, well, here's the thing with the horns. There are human beings out there who, for whatever fucking reason, grow fucking horns. It does fucking happen. You can go online and there's videos of people having them surgically fucking removed. Again, evil hairless monkeys, probably shagging everything that could shag. Things happen. What are you going to do? All right, explain this one.
And it's also... like older statues in the Vatican. I'm assuming this is Moses, but in Old Testament figures, they had horns on the statues, and they were later removed, from what I understand, because it creates too much question. Like, why? What is that? And also, especially your Gothic churches.
Uh-huh. Well, let's just face it.
Lead back to the Templars.
When you see horns on someone's head, you automatically go to the demonic. You can't have the Vatican having individuals that look all demonic, supposedly as stand-up Christian good people. I mean, I have a feeling that's why you don't see that anymore. That's fucking weird, man. All right, next, Jimmy, let's go to the different websites that I gave you the texts for. Let's pull some of these up and talk about them.
All right. Bring these ones up. We'll just go right down the row here.
Again, we're trying to build credibility here and tell you exactly what's going on. Now, this is the, was it the Giants from Patagonia, I believe.
Yeah, let's see here. In a nutshell, the age of exploration resulted in numerous misconceptions and wild fantasies about the New World being spread as far as fact throughout Europe. According to the diaries, journals, and writings of Ferdinand Magellan and his crew, the Pacific coast of South America was populated by a tribe of giants called the Patagonians. These giants were so tall the Europeans were only waist high to them, and two were even captured to be brought back to the to show all of Europe.
Stop right there. All right. So these things were like 10 to 12 feet tall. If you can stack two people back then, because the average height back then was between 5'3 and 5'6, that's a 10 foot tall individual. They talk about this in many different diaries, journals, from even as low down as, you know, lieutenants and captains who were there, wrote in their own journals, they saw this shit. All right, so you literally had an age of exploration, thousands of individuals writing in journals, diaries, what have you, that they encountered these things. And today we're like, oh, the minute you talk about it, people start doing this. They think you're fucking crazy. But if you look at the historic documents, it fucking happened. All right, keep going.
They continue. Next, Sir Francis Drake got in on the story. In his nephew's published account on their journeys, he told the encounter of the massive giants, but he estimated their height closer to 2.2 meters or 7.5 feet instead of 3 meters or 10 feet. probably in an attempt to discredit earlier accounts. He tells how many wary and untrusting the Giants became after Magellan's crew's treatment of them, and attempted abduction and painting a very clear picture of the Spanish expedition running ruining a people that had previously been kind and amiable. And instead, entirely discrediting Magellan, they gave the myth a boost.
Mm-hmm. So basically, we fucked it up. We went there, we lied to them, we stole from them, we kidnapped a few of them. And the two that they said they were taken in the beginning, they died on the ship on their way back across the ocean. Come on. We're dicks.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Another voyage, this time commanded by John Byron of the British Royal Navy in the mid-1700s, seemed to confirm the tales. A conveniently anonymous book published 2 years after the ship's return told more stories about the giants. And this account included illustrations lending more and more evidence to its claim, so much so that it seemed to be overlooked that there was no named author and much less a named author that could be confirmed to have been on the HMS Dolphin for the voyage.
Hmm.
The book succeeded in not only selling well, but increasing interest in the myth across Europe.
All right, cool. All right, let's hit the next one.
This one here. This one is on ancient origins.
All right, now, this, if you look at that, go up to that picture. All right, so this is actually the bones that were recovered. When you look at this, if you go to this article, it'll tell you it goes up to what, is it 18 feet?
Let me zoom in a little bit. Number 10, Serpent Mound, Ohio, is 7 feet.
Uh-huh.
Crissup Mound, West Virginia, 7'2". Iowa Mounds, 7'6". Steelville, Missouri, 8 foot.
Uh-huh.
Miamisburg, Ohio, 8.5. San Diego, California, is 8'4". Catalina Island, California, was 9'2".
I've actually been on Catalina Island, yeah.
Catalina wine mixer. Beaver Lake, Ozarks, Arkansas, is 10 foot. Lompoc Ranchero, California, is 12 foot, and West Hickory, Pennsylvania, 18 feet.
All right. So the minute you get over 8 feet, there's something going on. If we have giantism, it is what it is. People can grow to those heights, but not beyond 8 feet. Something's going on. Now, this particular map he's showing you right now is all of the locations where they found giant bones, but somehow you cannot see them in any fucking museums.
Yep. They say over 1,000 counts of 7 foot and taller skeletons have been reportedly unearthed from ancient burial sites over a 200-year period in North America. Newspaper accounts, towns, and country and county histories, letters, scientific journals, diaries, photos, and Smithsonian anthology reports have carefully documented this. These skeletons have been reported from coast to coast with strange anatomic anomalies such as double rows of teeth, jaw bones so large as able to fit over the face of the finder, and elongated skulls documented in virtually every state.
Yeah, listen. If it was one or two, I would even give you a couple dozen. I'd be like, thousands. Yep. What the fuck? This is insane.
And a lot of them focused on, the central.
Well, if you look at Michigan, coast. Right?
Oh,
we have old copper mines in the UP and in northern Michigan that are dated beyond 10,000 years back. Some of the newer ones, 8,000 and beyond. What the fuck was going on back then? They were mining copper. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
Yep. Smithsonian scientists identified at least 17 skeletons that stood over 7 feet in their annual reports, including one example that was 8 feet tall, a skull with a 36-inch circumference reported from Anna, Illinois. The Smithsonian annual reports of 1873. An average human skull is about 20 inches for reference.
I was going to say, that's one hell of a mama wrecker.
Did they measure Blake's head?
Blake is that motherfucker. I don't know how he showed up here. He must have been C-section, because that's one hell of a mama wrecker right there. I'm just saying.
The Smithsonian Institution is mentioned dozens more times as the report of enormous skeletons from across the entire United States.
But if you go and ask them about these things, they say they don't exist.
Yep. And here we got pictures of a bunch of newspaper clippings from back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And here's a picture from, I believe, looks like 1919, I'm guessing.
All right.
Big-ass mama wrecker there. But here's the top 10 giants here, where they were found. So this one was Serpent Mound, Ohio, 1890s, 7 foot tall skeleton. Looks like it was in some kind of mine, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Serpent Mound is a 1,370 foot long prehistoric effigy mound located near Peebles that has been thoroughly researched by Ross Hamilton, who has written extensively about its mysteries and the giant discovery in the area. Recent radiocarbon analysis dates it to be around 321 BC. Puts it in the realm of the Adenia civilization, who were present in the area at the time.
Okay, keep going. Wow. Look at that shit.
Apparently that's what it was.
Wow.
So you got the Creset Mound, West Virginia, 1952 or 1959. 1959, Dr. Donald Dragoo, the curator for the section of man at the Carnegie Museum, unearthed a 7'2" skeleton in the complex excavation of the Creset Mound in northern West Virginia.
All right.
He's quoted, the individual was of large proportions. When measured in the tomb, his length was approximately 7.04 feet. All of the long bones were heavy.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right. We don't have to go through all of them. Just read the 1897, 7'6" skeleton. Keep going down.
Yep. And then Steelville, Missouri, 1933, eight feet.
All right. Keep going.
8 feet. There's a picture of a comparison.
Wow.
Miamisburg, Montgomery County, Ohio, 8 feet, 1.5 inches.
Wow. Okay.
Drawing of it. A San Diego giant. Oh, this one's a mummy.
Yeah. And you can't find it, just disappeared. Go figure. Can you imagine what we could do now if we actually could find these bones and do a DNA analysis on them? That would be fucking mind blowing. 9'2"
At Catalina Island. Yep.
Yep.
There's a record. And there he is, all bundled up and whatnot. Right. Beaver Lake, Ozarks.
10 feet. Nearly 10 feet. All right. Now let's just get this straight. Only in the past 50 years have we been able to consume on a daily basis enough calories to be the equivalent of a meal for a king. And our average height has gone up because of it. I would say our height has gone up basically from the late 1700s to now. The average height has gone up, 4 or 5 inches. How the hell are normal human beings growing to 7, 8, 9 feet plus tall back in the day before we can actually eat the kind of food to sustain that kind of size? In my opinion, this is a genetic component, if not a different race.
Yep. Sorry about that, GoBilly. I just jumped into the StreamYard there to bring you back on there. Sorry about that.
All right.
And then 12 feet. And then West Hickory, Pennsylvania, 1870. 18 feet.
Like, okay. What the fuck? I mean, how do you explain 18 feet? How do you explain it? You can't. That's why they're hiding the bones from us. All right. Move on to the next one. We're not going to play the video. But yep. You can find this online. You can do your own research. This is insane.
Yep. And this one goes over to ancientcode.com. Six main pieces of evidence. But yeah, they'll cover the same stuff. You know, there's the mummy. Another big ass one. Another big ass one here.
All right. There's the Book of Giants right there.
Yep.
I believe they found that. Read the description underneath that one.
Discovered more than half a decade ago, the so-called Book of Giants is considered one of the most fascinating yet controversial discoveries ever made on Earth.
I'm going to have to research that.
Discovered together with thousands of ancient scrolls, the Book of Giants describes the demise of the ancient Nephilim. The ancient manuscript speaks of the creatures that inhabited our planet in the distant past and how they were destroyed.
I need to research that. That actually is pretty interesting.
Yep.
There's the Nephilim in the Bible.
Yep.
Gog.
Genesis. Kinemenzin giants.
Yeah, this is, I believe, in Southern Americas where the Indians actually ganged up and killed these things because they were hunting normal humans and eating them. They were treating this like prey.
We'll get newspaper reports detailing discovery of giant humanoid fossils, countless newspapers reports dating back more than 100 years, detailed discovery of massive bones, what many people have believed to have belonged to real giants.
All right, let's go down to that thumb thing right there. All right, now, this is still floating around out there because apparently this guy showed it to a scientist or an archaeologist, said he would come back, and they would do tests on it, and he never came back. So this is still floating around out there. I hope they find it, because you can do DNA off that, because that's flesh.
Yep. That was a picture taken in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
So not too long ago. Not
too long ago.
Yep. The Kopdwa, a two-headed giant.
Wow.
Said to have originally been captured by the Spanish sailors in the 1600s. Giant being called Kopdwa. Was two-headed, 3.5 meters tall, and humanoid that is believed to have lived on Earth hundreds of years ago.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Listen, the information's out there. All right, now, this one here, the conquistador encounter with giants, if you go back and read a lot of the historic examples, this is where you have lieutenants, captains, commanders, other individuals who write about this entire conquest that took place. And I believe this took place in Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana area. There was a huge battle where the conquistadors were held at bay by a giant, basically the son of one of the chiefs who was they say he was between 9 and 11 feet tall. Who knows? But he fought them to a standstill for so long that they had to barricade and surround the city that they're in and starve them to death. That plus smallpox and all the other horseshit brought them to their knees. But they had guns. They weren't really good, but they had guns. Maybe they shot some of these things and it didn't work. I don't know. You have to read the descriptions. It is incredibly... it's so fascinating, and I hope the people that watch this show do some research on this, ask some goddamn question, because this is insane.
Yep. Now we'll be sure to update the website and have these all these articles that we're going covering and whatnot going through Glancing App. Make sure that they are all in there. We'll move to the next one. This one basically continues the conquistador story.
Yeah, but this one, if you go down, a little bit more. All right. It actually talks about what happened. See, in 1539, this is a DeSoto. If you read this description here, it tells you about the battle that took place. This was a common occurrence back then. You don't see thousands of examples, you know, hundreds of news stories you know, there were hundreds of guys down there, you know, basically committing genocide and wiping out the Indian population back then. And they were coming across these things on the regular and engaging them in battle.
Yep.
We need to know about these things. Now, am I upset that they're all the giants, in my opinion, are dead? Yeah. I would love to see that shit. It would be interesting. But we are evil, hairless monkeys. We love to kill each other on the regular. And if there was another race on this planet, we'd probably wipe them the fuck out because we're, let's face it, we replicate like bunnies when there's enough resources and the conditions are right. And we just won out because we have way more numbers than them. Like, am I going to be able to fight a beast that's 18 feet tall? Fuck no. Not without a tank. Not going to happen. Hell, if I come across a dude who's 7 feet tall, I'm a running motherfucker. I don't have a choice. I can't fight a guy who's 7 feet tall. Just physics alone is brutal.
Well, I mean, we all know you're good at running, Pop. So
you're absolutely correct.
We mentioned, we got to say it. We got to play it.
All right, so we built the credentials for Mr. Walker. We've talked about some of the history that's going on with this whole giant craziness. Now let's rip apart the Kandahar giant rumor, legend, whatever you want to call it. All right, let's pull up Walker. Why don't you walk us through your information that basically debunks this entire thing? Can you hear me?
Okay, so we've clearly shown. Yeah, how about now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yep, there's going to be a delay.
We've clearly shown there's information out there.
All right, hang on a minute. Walker.
Because there's some
You're buffering real bad. Can you turn off your turn off your video so we can hear your voice?
Go ahead.
All right, continue on. Mm-hmm.
I did. Roger, right. Did it. Okay. So we've clearly shown what an in-depth subject this is. Okay. The problem with the Kandahar giant, this story is just so low rent to anybody with working knowledge. And you're a paranormal researcher. Credibility. Doesn't matter what you want to hear. It's about the credibility. And this story just hit on a particular time and place that I literally would have been the first person to know about it. And it first of all, people who pose and steal valor as Special Forces guys is a no-go. And those who disrespect the death of Special Forces guys, if it didn't happen, you know, you can't use Special Forces to try to validate your story. I took every one of those deaths very hard, and I'm not going to allow it to happen. Special Forces usually do not come out in the public like SEALs do. But everybody, every video, somebody has to know. Somebody had to be there. Well, will this change anything? No, because people can't be bothered by facts. But this particular story just doesn't fly, and I'm not saying it can't be possible, but you got to come at me with as much detail as I have to turn my opinion of this story.
So what you're saying is if they want to counterman what you have to say, they better have some fucking proof.
Yeah, I don't want to see infographics. I don't want to see stock footage of a different era. I don't want to see AI photos. I want to see photos of the time, the era. And I'm putting my name out there for one, which there's no upside because somebody could dive into screwing with me rather than the story of just finding facts of the story. That's just the way people are. But I can't take it anymore watching this circular reporting.
Okay.
And they're using terms. Every video is creating more terms that they're saying it was widely reported. It was an open secret. It was well documented. Well, you didn't slip one past the goalie with a story like this when I was there, because I would have been all over it. I sold $4,000 of alcohol a month. I ran the alcohol black market in Kandahar.
Yeah.
Everybody was in my pocket. Okay. Uh-huh. Anything weird below the boards, you know, I drew the line at drugs. I did have to sell some roids to make things happen, but I'm at 100% anti-drug. But everything short of that, I ran the drug deals, the scrounger, you know, for
yeah, I've heard the stories.
Anything that had to happen that you didn't want to do paperwork.
Yeah, I've heard the stories about you getting concrete work done and having to find a bunch of lobster tails. And it's the typical, you know, if you watch the movie or the show MASH, Red O'Reilly, who's really good at horse trading to get shit done, this was your guy. Mm-hmm. And he did it for almost 10 years on the ground. Mm-hmm. So come on.
So in an official capacity, like, okay, can the aircraft perform this thing that we're trying to do? All the way down, I had the Afghan general in my pocket. I met with the Afghan governor. The governor looked at me because I had a scope on my N4. He goes, I like your rifle. Give me 30 of them. I'm like, yeah, that I'm not allowed to do that. But I had Afghan commanders, the sheriff of Kandahar. These people came to me with information. I ran courier for the OGA. You know, you're in a car with the individual for an hour.
Uh-huh.
If you need to set up a meeting with an Afghan, I was your guy.
I like it. So what you're trying to say here is, at no time with all of your dealings did this rumor of a giant come across your ears or desk.
No, I would have been on it. Uh-huh. Trust me, I'd have been the first guy helping it happen. If there was a cover-up, you know, and we're not government shills. Uh-huh. I've had emails erased from my inbox, my Facebook. You've had the FBI visit you. I was a Benghazi whistleblower. Also, you know, we've all had these, you know, Marty had the closed door congressional testimony. I've been blackballed from State Department jobs. We're not government shills.
That's right. You tell the truth.
And so I had 8 things that I just came up with that this doesn't pass the smell test.
All right. Let's ask some questions here. All right. First of all, what unit was involved in this whole craziness? Who is the commander? What was the chain of command? All right. Now, I've been around when soldiers get whacked. When a soldier, it doesn't matter. It could be a line cook to a CAG operator. Once that hits the chain, there's a bunch of events that have to take place. Period.
Now, is it possible you could grab one team? You could grab one team and force them to sign NDAs. Sure.
Correct.
But the air crew, the flight line crew, the forklift operator, the crew chief, the guys on the flight line.
And what about their buddies?
Their mind?
Yeah.
Exactly. Listen. Yeah, the buddies won't ask questions. Where'd my buddy go?
That's right. Listen, if I'm an operator and one of my close friends or one of my buddies I worked with, I blood, sweat, and tears, all of a sudden disappears, and they're like, well, you just need to be quiet. I'd be like, go fuck yourself. There's a whole box of offs you could go fuck, because I'm going to find out what the hell's going on. And this attitude that I have is very common in the special operations community. All right. Sorry. going.
Yeah, as a line grunt, maybe they could say you're basically nobody. But in special ops, you're a somebody. Remember in the movie Lone Survivor, these guys loaded the aircraft like ready to go. I've seen it twice. The whole TOC run out the door while I'm the single guy standing there.
Yep. Okay. Now here's another thing. You were talking about Task Force 160. If they were going to move a high value target like that, like the body of a giant, they would probably use Task Force 160, not regular helicopter pilots. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're correct. Because the 101st Chinooks that were there, you could not, if you talk in secrecy, how are you going to let a division of grunts let you see it do it?
Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
Had to be one of the two MCH-47 Echo models. There was two aircraft that could do
correct.
That's it.
Now, here's a side note. I've told this story before. When I was in Iraq, our company confiscated a truck, a full truck full of ammunition of various types, bombs, explosives, what have you, that was going to Fallujah prior to the first Fallujah fight. And there was a pallet of VX NBC rounds on that truck. It wasn't a full pallet. I think it was like 27 shells. It was parked on Victory. I got called up there to identify that it was the truck. They came, took the pallet off with a forklift, put it onto a C-130. I assume it was a C-130. I can't recall how many engines it had. And they told me to shut the fuck up. And I'm like, okay, man, or whatever. I mean, it is what it is. But that's how they get rid of shit. I saw it happen. They didn't make me sign an NDA. They just told me to shut the fuck up. It is what it is. I think they just wanted to keep the whole thing hush hush. But my entire unit knew the truck existed. There's still people talking about it all over the place. You're not going to be able to keep a fucking giant who killed six operators with a spear quiet. It's not going to happen. All right, sorry, keep going. I'm getting spun up here.
The story keeps changing, and that's another smell of BS, because first it was contractors. Well, contractors didn't even exist at this time. And being a contractor, the rules of engagement do not allow you to do offensive operations. And we had third group, we had SEAL team, 10 or 8, I believe. We had the STS, Norwegian, German KSK, which is their Delta, Canadian Task Force 2, which is their Delta, Danish SF, New Zealand SAS. It was a mini Fort Bragg. And you tell me that these guys would let contractors steal their trigger time? Absolutely not. Because, okay, early on, all deaths or even encounters were a big deal. Our saying was, we got them right where we want them, all around us. Because we were just trying to find them to whack them. And so there's no such thing as the guy interviewed said, we were contractors wandering around looking for HVTs. No. Contractors not go up and do offensive operations. You do not wander around looking for a high-value target. There's a CIA Predator overhead. There's an AC-130. There's a couple of A-10s on call. You know, there's a Ranger QRF on standby. There's the PAs on the flight line spinning, waiting for a combat search and rescue. Okay, so the story initially says an infantry squad went missing. Bull. An infantry squad is not going to be far from a company size element minimum.
Correct.
Okay. And then they said a soft team came in to look for that unit. Okay. If you're missing a unit, the PR is so bad for the military. You have never seen the military function until they're covering their ass.
Correct. Okay?
So you don't send another flippy dippy team in that they're not going to be far from their fire base either. So, you know, they said, oh, they found a mangled radio. Tell me the RTO, the radio operator, is like, we have found the cave. We have found the cave. Now entering the cave. We're entering the cave. That they're not going to report the steps they're taking before they even get into the tangle. Because,
yeah, it doesn't make sense. You and I,
we're going to go in the cave and call.
Yeah, you and I have been in combat. We know how shit rolls. All right. I mean, if I actually, you know, get one dude wounded, I'm literally calling in the cavalry to get that guy.
There was no Iraq. Afghanistan was totally distracted by Iraq, and it contributed to losing the war. And there's a lot that goes into that, but the fact that the media was all over any kind of news, and when I got there, it was a month after Roberts Ridge, and people were still walking around wide-eyed, like in a bit of shock. And that's something that you're in shock over. If there was a giant whacking teams and all this, people would have been in shock over that.
Yeah, people would talk about it for years. There's just no way that's going to happen because you're going to have the rumor mill.
Well, and you can't tell the whole TOC to sign the NAD.
Well, you were in the rumor mill, so you know that. You know, you would hear people talking about
support
it.
Guys.
My buddy John.
Who's the forklift? Who's the forklift operator that tried to get the skids under this big bloody mess in a cargo net? Who's the crew chiefs and the crew guys who have to mop up this big biohazard of blood, and the flight line guys that have to take the dunnage away and dispose of it? And the tower crew overlooking, like, what is this? What are you doing? What are you doing on our airfield? You know, that none of it floats. So, like you said about negative reporting or proving the negative, what I'm saying, there's in threat analysis and intelligence, nothing happens in a vacuum. So, correct. This is the photo negative of this case. Yeah, you could say, oh, the team was wiped out, never heard from. The government silenced them, never heard from. What about everybody else? Come on now. It just is not logical.
No, it's not. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know, man.
And again,
well, I mean, here's some of my questions here. All right. So you're saying there was only two helicopters in that area that could do that. The Task Force 160 Chinooks that could get up to that altitude and lift a 2,200-pound dead giant on it. Correct? Right. So, and then they put it in a
cargo net.
I'm trying to remember the story. They flew up there, put it in a cargo net, flew it down to what base? Who moved it?
Kandahar Airfield and transferred it to a 130.
Yeah, and you know the Afghans would be fucking running their mouth about that because they would know about it. There was no rumor mill from the Afghans, and there was no rumor mill going on with the soldiers on the ground.
That's right. If the Afghans had an issue, I was their trusted guy. That look, you deal with him, and you'll get results. Other people are kind of smile and lie. So anyways, from the governor on down, when you need something done, and you have to pull a lot out of your hat to get something done. I mean, you have to trade and barter especially if you don't want there to be reports done.
No, you don't.
I did most of what I did with the plausible deniability, like, oh, well, he's the single Air Force guy, so he's not really in our chain of command if something happens. Uh-huh. And I was good with that, and they were good with doing business that way.
I gotcha. I gotcha.
But I was flying single ship out by myself in town, which made me the subject matter expert. There was another agency that I did not like, the CIA guys. I thought,
yeah,
I wasn't impressed. There was another agency that used to exist called Defense Human Agency, and these guys, but they didn't have the support. So my unofficial network had to come into play to support them.
Correct. But the thing is like, I'm trying to keep hitting this point home. Nobody talked about it while you were there for almost 10 years.
No, not widely reported, not an open secret. Uh-huh. These terms, just because you say it doesn't make it true.
Correct.
You know, it's circular reporting, and they're doing it for content because this is an irresistible story for content.
I gotcha. And I know, and when I covered it,
I would love it.
Mm-hmm. I know. Listen, one of the main reasons we're doing this show is you were fucking pissed off that I covered the show and apparently I didn't cover it correctly. So now we're doing it. Now we're fucking torpedoing this goddamn thing because it is nothing but bullshit, in my opinion. Straight up.
And I said, it's nothing against giants, okay? It's against the posers, the stolen valor guys who get the terminology from video games, and you know, stolen valor is like a mental illness, clearly. And so you could take it up a notch with this story, and the some about male insecurity where you need the attention, and that's what you get.
Now, I myself
have vetted these people in intelligence. You vet people.
Yeah. Now, I myself have people like, you know, sit there and tell me, oh, you're still in valor, Sergeant Pop. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. If you look on my website, my DD214s are there. My NCORs are up there. It is what it is. So I don't play those games. And when I see other people stealing valor, I get really upset.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And I think that's one of the lowest, most scummiest things you could do before killing and raping somebody, in my opinion.
I have known three people who've had their own reality TV shows, and they had nothing good to say about the experience because people come at you just to make content for themselves.
I gotcha.
And try to pull the stolen valor on people who clearly, you know, you can tell the real deal.
Here's another thing. What about the missing equipment?
Oh, yeah.
If it was an ODA, they're walking around with probably $6 to $10 million worth of fucking, you know, whiz bang equipment and commo gear.
And even they said that it could have possibly been trucked out. Oh no, the drivability of Afghanistan. We had the jagged shale rocks that exist there. We actually had. An SF Humvee is called a GMV. We had an emergency shipment of Mickey Thompson Super Swampers where the tread goes or curls around the sides just to try to not lose a tire a day. You know, we had pallets of these Mickey Thompson Super Swampers come in, which looked cool as hell, but just you had to use stream beds to even drive at all. And there's no deuce and a halfs in the SF.
Yeah. You're not taking a truck.
Conventional troops are not going out there. We had to write the convoy SOP. Every war starts fighting the last war. So the whole convoy SOP that exists today didn't exist. And we had to put that together. So leading some convoy or a truck group of trucks into the mountains, which had to be conventional units, never going to happen.
Correct. Oh, here's another thing. All right, so we're talking about airframes. At that altitude, how many people could you put in a Black Hawk?
Three.
All right. What about three a packs. Sea Stallion?
Three packs.
Three packs.
The Sea Stallion had a gross inherent weight problem. Yes. The Osprey wasn't on the scene. We later had to acquire Russian helicopters.
The hips, they did,
They did function, but that came years later. So it all comes down to those two aircraft.
Uh-huh.
And I had to brief them.
All right. So you're talking, you sat in on hundreds of briefings over a 10-year period.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the know.
Mm-hmm.
You were the guy they went to for, you know, weather intel and what have you. You were deeply entrenched, I would say, in the hog trading, black market kind of thing, because mm-hmm. people like what they like. And at no time in 10 years did this rumor ever touch your ears.
No.
Okay.
Now, there's a 2008 event that I don't know about. I'll lay no claim to that. Okay. But I think it's actually just a reemergence of 2002 story.
Well, that's how rumor mills work. It changes. It reappears. It's like a bad pimple. You take it off your face, it grows on your ass. That's just the way it goes.
And also the Afghans, I ran a 30 to 14, depending on the job, work crew of Afghans. I had two interpreters who were killed after I left. And I ran 14 also mission interpreters. So from the lowest guy to the highest guy, I was in it, over it, around it, at every level.
And here's another question. Where the fuck is this cave? Where on the map is it? I have never seen an actual location where this took place.
Yeah. And the, later on, there are fire bases all through. The mountains of Afghanistan are really just on the fringe of the northern province.
Correct.
And that central highlands was riddled with A camps. So it's not like it wouldn't be revisited. There was A teams that found so much hardware in caves. When they blew it up, it took the top of the mountain off. It made it a plateau.
Yeah, I actually saw some of that footage where they fired a hyperbaric missile into one of these cave complexes, and hundreds of bodies came shooting out. And they're just flying hundreds of feet, you know, and just dying. It was insane. But yeah, I mean, where was this cave? And if the Afghans were going around building these bases in caves, it only makes sense that they would probably know where the caves were and use them for a base. So I find it hard to believe that there was a cave that had a giant living in it that nobody knew about. Now, come on. What the hell?
And riddle me this.
Yeah.
2002 was the last year of a 30-year drought. Okay? Now, you're talking 125-degree temperatures. Simple survival. You do not expend more energy to catch something than the sustenance that it will give you.
Correct.
So how many chronically dehydrated 5'4" Afghans do you have to sustain your body mass with no 65% of Kandahar had no access to water?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the build-up areas. So how is this thing with this body mass going to sustain itself? And the Afghans are pretty quick. They're light on their feet, let me tell you. And even children... Okay, the AK is going to damage flesh a whole lot better, and the Russian 7.62 is going to damage flesh a whole lot better than our platformed weapons.
At close
range.
And
they were everywhere. Yeah. Early on in the war, everybody had them. Kids had weapons, so how is this thing going to exist for obviously decades? Yeah, without getting shot. Converted to Islam, sold or eaten. How did the Russians not genetically modify this thing into a super soldier and use it during the Cold War? You know, come on.
Yeah, I know. I got you. I mean, this is insane. I don't know, man. And then you have, we already talked about the graves and registration, the airframes. That couldn't cover it. You couldn't get to the location in a truck. You know, you got you know, you're basically talking to hundreds, if not, you know, thousands of individuals while you were there. And not one time did this super secret giant killing come across your desk. You never heard anything about it. Again, we're trying to prove a negative.
And here's another thing. I was actually, I was actually activated. I was attached to third group when 9/11 happened, but I was technically 20th group. Okay. So 20th group was given the AO of Kandahar. Third group teams, you know, took different provinces.
Yeah, so I know I know three guys that were on different teams during that time frame in 20th group. I was in 20th group from 05 to 07.
And I was tight with them because I pulled some shenanigans on their behalf that actually was responsible for them deploying. And I was rolling with them every day for fun. You know, my job usually took an hour a day. You know, there was 2 weeks of that time that I had 8 hours sleep in 1 week. But other than that, I was doing things way out of my lane. I was enjoying, you know, because like I said, I didn't get that satisfaction you got by putting that green beret on. So I put a gray beret on instead.
I got you.
I was living the dream. And I was actually more valuable in that capacity because team guys couldn't pull the shenanigans that I was pulling, and they appreciated it.
Here's another thing. Do you think if a whole, like six guys from an A team get whacked, or even airborne Rangers, don't you think they would call an AC-130 up there to spank this thing?
Those guys wouldn't roll out without it.
Yeah.
You would have their fire support laid on. So you could say that somehow some infantry squad got in this debacle, but then everything they sent another special ops team out to find them. They're gonna come. Oh, we're looking for missing guys. Oh, gee, maybe their compass is off. No, you go at it as if they were taken out, and you're gonna deal with what you find.
Correct. And
it's a combat recovery mission. It
again,
has all assets.
Again, if a C-130 was called in, those guys would talk. It didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, and don't tell me, or the PJs rolling in hot with their miniguns, or you know, the combat controllers dropping bombs.
Correct.
You know, no.
Yeah, no. It's not.
None of it makes sense. And like I said, if it was a giant, I'd be on it.
Correct. It's hard to keep a secret in a war zone, too, isn't it? Come on.
There's no compartmentalization inside. You know, the OGA and the agencies, you know, their liaisons were with us, and we knew there was shenanigans that happened. We had a good beat on Bin Laden, and they took a pass. You know, we had a good beat on a top 10 HVT. And they said, you know, we call the aircraft. And then it turns out the signal intercept of that guy's phone is he was an agency asset.
Okay, I got you.
Why is a top 10 HVT an agency asset?
Well, listen, when these things happen.
Crap.
Listen, that's alphabet agency craziness. Fuck those guys. I'm talking about shooting this.
We didn't talk about it. Yeah. We let that go. We didn't want to talk about it. But you have to function. Support guys, you know when you're going to do something because they got to get up early to support it.
Correct. What about the ammo, the batteries,
yeah,
the food, all of the fucking classes of supplies needed to send a dude out? Because guess what? Their supply sergeant who gave them the equipment. If the equipment goes missing, he's got to do a 15-6 investigation or a flipple. Where's the paperwork? If it happened, there's somebody out there with the paperwork. Where's the fucking paperwork? Listen, nobody dies without a fucking forest of trees being turned to paper to write about your fucking death. That's why I hate paperwork, because it always reminds me of somebody some dude going in a body bag. Fuck that.
Yeah.
All right. So, Walker, we're coming up on super chat time, so we're gonna roll through some super chats. I think we've covered this. I think we've thoroughly shot this in the fucking foot, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, you can see the deaths that are published, and there's you know, Anaconda killed a lot of people that, you know, time. So you take away the guys that we did have, who did we miss? Who just came up missing, dead, and we didn't hold a service for? Come on now.
Yeah, come on, man. Get the hell out of here. That's another thing is, you're not good. If some dudes get whacked, there's going to be some kind of memorial service or whatever, and they would come to you for the alcohol, which they never did. There's no fucking get the hell out of here. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, let's get through these super chats, yeah. Bro. Come on, Jimmy, pull them up. Let's do YouTube first.
All right, we got just a handful of super chats here tonight. But we still got, let's see, we got 515 watching over on YouTube. 334 all right. Likes. I'm not happy with that ratio, but I'll accept it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what I'm just saying, do? The Rumble chat's a little bit worse. So get those likes up, gents. See, first one here from Alex Patino here with $5. If you go to Mexico City and check out the Aztec body armors that were saved, those armors are for over 6 foot tall. Of course, most Aztecs were decimated.
Yep. Wow. Yep.
And let's see, the only other one here on YouTube here, you got Mustanger 65 for $10. 20th, didn't you guys have a C-123?
What is? I don't even know what a C-123 is. What is that, Walker?
I think it's a smaller version of the C-130.
A two-engine C-130.
It's a two-engine. Yeah.
They called it a trans.
Well, no, unless they're talking about the Vietnam Fairchild provider or whatever. That I don't know how it's that helps us.
All right. Well, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the C-123. All right, next one.
All right, let's see here. Looks like those are the only two over on YouTube there. I got the Rumble chat pulled up over here. And I did do I shot myself in the dick. I did a copy and paste to the Rumble chat there. So if you guys saw a message deleted by moderator, that was me. I shot myself in the dick.
I got one from Alucard here on Rumble. Oh, you'll get to that one. I'm sorry.
Yep. Yeah, we only got a handful over here on Rumble here. First one, we'll start with we got MGTOW Mando joining us. Genesis 6 references giants being in the earth, being on the earth in the days before the flood and also after.
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
A lot of stuff. Let's see.
Yeah, that's what people should be focusing on.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Shellback Stunts here dropping $20. Thank you very much. It says, my grandfather's uncle is Robert Waldo. He was 8'11". I got none of it as I'm 5'6".
8'11". Wow.
Yeah, I think that's weird. But
most of those guys who get that tall are frail as fuck.
Yeah, a lot of health problems. Their organs don't even work right.
Yeah, I just can't imagine like some dude that tall, that frail, driving a spear through six operators, taking hundreds of rounds of ammunition, you know, to the face and the body up close and not dying.
And nobody could get off a radio message?
Yeah, come on. Shut up. All right, keep going. I'm sorry. I'm getting spun up on this.
See, NetGuy1975 drops in a dollar. He says, oldest mine pop is 12,000 years old, link included. Got it up. It is a summary is archaeologists have discovered a 12,000-year-old iron oxide mine in Chile that marks the oldest evidence of organized mining ever found in the Americas.
Wow. Okay.
So there you guys go. Check that out. That's info I did not know. All right. Let's see here. What's the next one here? Scroll down here. NetGuy again saying, make sure you hit the like button or Pop will give you a knife hand. or a Hillary video may or may not be.
Don't do that.
Let's see. Cheryl Bosch, we're dropping $20, says, glad I found your channel.
All right. I did spam this on all of the paranormal sites on Facebook and stuff.
Hell yeah. So. See, Net Guy coming back again. Pop, the ghost kid from Abu Ghraib says, what's up, Evil Bert?
Yeah, that dude, that was a fucking creepy fucking story. Yeah. I'll tell you that one offline, Walker. You'll fucking flip out.
I've seen the episode.
Oh, okay. Yep. That fucking entire fucking compound just infested with supernatural bullshit. Infested.
And you're the only one who's covered it. It was a tiny blip in the book Men Who Stare at Goats. Outside of that, you're the only one who's covered it.
Maybe I'm just more sensitive to that shit. I don't know. I grew up in a haunted house, so.
There you go. See, Ali Card 1776 coming in here, drop a five. Pop, what would happen if you were if you offer a dog man a beer?
I don't know. I don't probably wouldn't go that close to one of those motherfuckers because they have like vicious claws.
They're aggressive.
That's what the legend says.
Dog man, you run. Yeah, you run.
That's right.
Yeah. There has been one.
Can give you a tip.
Oh, go ahead.
I told you I had a buddy who was a remote viewer, one of the government ones, not a hobbyist. And they're actually avatars from another dimension. The Bigfoot and the Dogman are biological avatars. They're four-wheel drive, you know, off-road vehicles for a organic body. And they have to be bigger and badder than everything in the woods. And the dog men are hunting the Bigfoot. They're both here to get archaeological treasures, usually around Indian mounds.
Huh.
And, yeah.
Okay. I never heard that. That's cool. All right. There keep going. Let's get through these.
And Mando coming back again. He says, drop a five. Says, Jimmy, this one's been rather heavy. And he's making a request.
Okay. Here we go.
Well, I don't know. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
God, I hate that one. I hate that woman.
I don't think there is a clip that you do like, Pop.
I can't stand any of that.
That does it for the Rumble chats here. Let me do a quick refresh on the screen there. Oh, so, we got 157 likes and 624 viewers.
So what do you think? If you can deep fake a Hillary moving video and you can deep fake giant photographs. One says a picture from 1923 is one of the pictures in the thumbnail. Yeah, right.
I got you.
You could tell what a picture is AI.
All right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Let's get through these, man.
All righty. Let's see here. We'll jump over here to the MGTOW chats here.
Yeah, we're light on the super chats. The paranormal stuff usually isn't pulling a lot of super chats.
Yeah, that's all right, but it's good conversation. Good conversation. Good topics to talk about. See, Crazy Uncle here. He's got an email for you, Pop. So keep your eyes out for it. Pop, I've got the answer. I figured out the 3638 your ESP is saying.
I'll send
you an email later in a few days with all of the receipts. Just a heads up, it will hurt your brain.
All right. Yeah. I don't know why, but like the past 5-6 years, I just keep getting these dreams and visions about the number 36 and 38. I don't know what's going on.
Well, if Crazy Uncle can connect some dots that only you can connect, that's pretty fucking scary.
Yep.
Speaking of MGTOW, we got 38 viewers over there, and MGTOW chat is doing MGTOW chat things, winning. Let's see, next one here, Transformational Synergy, dropping $20. Yeah, dropping this here, channel and topic support. Please take care, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Let's see, jump over here to Odyssey here. Let's see, Mark D's channel. Oh, excuse me. Dropping $20 says, thanks for the show, popping friends.
Thank you very much. Much, much appreciated.
Morning. All right. And we got, see, there's 25 over there on Odyssey here. We'll jump over here to D Live, see if anyone dropped any lemons.
No.
Let's see here. Got 5 viewers over there. It doesn't look like no lemons tonight. And Twitch, when my laptop load up, slow bastard.
We got another one here for this is Tab 18. Force, $20. How's that for a super chat? Semper Fi, gents. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Awesome. And Twitch is rocking 15 over there.
Yeah, we're going to probably start streaming to Twitter or X and get rid of Twitch.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yep. All right. Let's see here. Let me scroll down here to make sure I'm not going to miss anybody else's super chats, cash apps. Let's see here. Looks got like I just have one from Suze McCarley, $30 for a cool story, bro. Sorry, you got to be a smart ass.
Hey, Susie, send me an email. Let me know if you got the link to the administrative violence. If you didn't, I'll make sure you get it. All right, cool.
Yep. All righty. Up. Alucard 1776 is back in the Rumble chat. He also has a request.
Oh, no.
And it's one of your favorite pops.
I hate that one, mainly because my face fits on that dude's skull, like, seamlessly.
The funny thing is, Shellback Stunts dropped a $20 bill. Him and Alucard were on the exact same page. He says, it's concert time, boys. Bring that singing pop.
God. Oh,
there you go. We brought it, and you're going to like it, damn it. We'll like it. Pop's going to hate it, but you know, it is what it is.
And I was Billy Von Baum and that Hog Slayer. Man, that shit was hilarious.
Oh, yep. The Hog Rider.
The Hog Rider. That's it. Oh, my God. That was so funny.
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious. I laughed my ass off. saw that posted in the guild, and I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely going to have to download that one and save that one and put it up there on the Rumble.
So are we clear on all super chats?
Let's see. I believe we are all caught up here. Let me just do one quick double check here, making sure we don't miss any of your guys' super chats here. I know we're a little bit light here. Oh, Doug is fun. Just dropped a $20 bill. Here you go, man. Pop, have you been on the Goddamn Bacon channel on YouTube? It starts Friday at around 10:30.
No, I have not been there. Send me a link in the email. I'll check it out. Redonk this 12.
Yep, I know. I actually know Bacon. He's a good dude. He likes his booze and cigars and likes to talk shit.
That's good fine. Dude. It's pretty much a sport once you get old.
Pretty much. See, Mighty Mouse Malibu with $5 says we need Hog Rider.
Well, we can't show it on YouTube because we will get a copyright strike. We don't need that. But
yeah, YouTube is pretty fucky and sucky with their, because their algorithms don't really can't understand AI just yet. And then you do a manual review, they just don't really, they'll either actually take it up and actually care or they won't. But check out Billy Von Baum on YouTube. It's there. All right, let's see here. Jumping back to Rumble here. I had two in a row here. Alucard 1776. Pop, would you share the woods with Hillary or a Bigfoot?
Bigfoot.
there's a slight less chance of you being, you know, taking a shotgun blast to the chest and hanging yourself on a tree.
What I heard about Bigfoot, if you don't fuck with him, he's probably not going to fuck with you.
Yeah. That's true. And see,
do you know the second Bat Ranger story with Bigfoot?
The one in the Nisqually Forest, the rainforest up there.
Yeah, 86. Yeah.
Yep.
I know a guy who was there.
So was my squad leader. He told me all about it. It was fucking creepy as fuck. All right.
See, and it looks like a last one over here on Rumble. Unless you guys want to drop into the last minute one. MGTOW Mando, he's not wrong, but he's also an asshole for saying this. Says, Jimmy, you don't have an ass to laugh off.
Yeah, you need to eat more, bro. Just saying.
No, trust me, I eat. I eat a lot of very unhealthy and disgusting things that are very bad for my body, and my metabolism is still kicking pretty good at 33. So,
yeah. I'm ready for a safety briefing.
Let's see here. Let me jump back through all the chats here, make sure we're not missing any other super chats here. Looks like we are all caught up. So I think we are ready for an early night safety brief.
All right. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and swim. Never going to work out for you. If you absolutely need to fornicate, wear a goddamn condom, take it with you or flush it down the toilet and watch it go all the way down. And I'm going to tell you guys, if you're messing around with women over 40, it's the equivalent of eating gas station sushi. It's been sitting in that questionable cooler, may have been hot, cold. That's how you get yourself an ass worm or projectile vomit. Don't do it. If you have to fight, run away if you can. If you can't get away, do everything in your power not to go to the ground, because that is where you get stomped out. Rack up, pack up, and stack up, because there's safety in numbers. Maintain your situational awareness, because if you're going to be attacked, something in your environment will change, and it's up to you to see it. So take it easy.
All righty, Goat Belly, any final words from you, good sir? Thank you for joining us tonight.
Pop, consider your ledger clear.
All right, brother.
Well, you know what? Even though we didn't have any major super chats tonight, we always appreciate you guys coming around, sticking around, hanging out with us, shooting the shit, having some laughs, talking some shit. So this one goes out to you, your family, and your dog.
We're not worthy! We're not worthy!
Thank you so much.
All right, everybody, take it easy, stay safe, and enjoy the weekend.
All right.